Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You are tuned to our Asia Stream coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and it's my divine privilege to be hosting this segment called Morning Glory. On the sound console is audio engineer Brother Ganesh. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios here at Prashanthi Nilayam, where the time right now is 9:40 a.m. Thank you for staying with us on this very pleasant Thursday morning, June the 6th, 2013. And yes, you heard me right. Prashanthi Nilayam is indeed quite pleasant these days as the temperatures have dropped after the few pre-monsoon downpours we have had lately. Current weather conditions call for overcast skies with the chance of some thunder and rain activity later in the day. Temperatures minimum 25 degrees Celsius and a maximum of 33 degrees Celsius today. The breeze is indeed very pleasant, especially in the mornings and after sunset. Here's what's making news at this hour in Prashanthi Nilayam. The abode of supreme peace has had a wonderful recharge of sorts. The weather has changed for the better and Baba's beloved students are back in thousands. Along with them are their parents and chaperones. The back-to-school buzz is especially prominent in the mandir. The Vedam and the bhajans are charged by the little voices of the primary school children as well as the deep voice recitation by the university students. With the resumption of the academic year, our slice of heaven is running full throttle. With Guru Purnima coming up next month, this is an ideal time to come home and receive the heavenly blessings from the Mahasamadhi. Here's some interesting news from the Indian Postal Department. The Union Minister of State for Communications and Information Technology, Kili Kruparani, has announced that India Post will release a commemorative postage stamp in honor of Sri Sathya Sai Baba of Puttaparthi on his birth anniversary this year. I'm reading out from a newspaper report. The minister further described Bhagwan as an inspiration to people of all faiths and went on to say, and I quote, "As a preacher of the highest human values, Sathya Sai was an iconic figure for over five decades, inspiring millions to lead a moral and meaningful life. His teachings were rooted in the universal ideals of truth, righteous conduct, peace, love and non-violence." Unquote. The government communication further said that Sathya Sai endeared himself to people through various institutions which have their headquarters at Prashanthi Nilayam in Andhra Pradesh, and he promoted moral values, education and public health. Keeping in view his noble services to humanity and particularly for the welfare of the people of Andhra Pradesh, the decision was taken to release a commemorative postage stamp on him, the minister said. While the stamp will be issued at the time of Bhagwan's birthday anniversary, right now the Divine Valley is welcoming seekers that are arriving here every single day from every single part of this vast country and of the world itself, all through the day and often at night as well. The ashram is unusually busy in a happy sense, and the feeling of joy is quite palpable in the faces of, among others, the happy parents whose children have just joined one of many schools and colleges founded by Baba in the Vidyagiri complex here, or at the remaining three campuses of the Sai University, that is at Anantapur, Brindavan or Mudanhalli. Here's some useful news for all our listeners from the Sri Sathya Sai Space Theatre located here in Prashanthi Nilayam. The planetarium is resuming regular shows from today and the first show starting shortly, that is at 10:30 a.m. this morning, is about one of the two shows actually. There are two shows that are going to be screened in this season. They are called Bizarre Moons and Dark. Bizarre Moons is a show which is all about the moons of the solar system, and the show entitled Dark is about dark matter. Since Prashanthi Nilayam plays host to a multilingual audience, the Sathya Sai Space Theatre will also run multilingual shows. Hence, The Hindi shows will be scheduled on TNT, easy to remember, Tuesday and Thursday. And on Saturdays, the Planetarium will feature the English show. Sunday, of course, is reserved for the Telugu show. All shows begin at 10:30 in the morning, and the audience is expected to be seated well ahead of time. If you wish to catch a show at the Planetarium, we suggest you head out after morning darshan and aarti so that you're at the venue by 10 a.m. Entrance is on first-come, first-served basis, and there is no need for any passes anymore. Now, should you wish to learn more about the Planetarium, better known as the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre, please visit www.saispace.in. I repeat, saispace.in. Saispace is one word, S-A-I-S-P-A-C-E. And now for the lineup of programs on Morning Glory today. Feature presentation this morning, part 2 of the Fleeting Moments interview with Brother Balaramachandran, an alumnus of the Sai University. But before we go there, it's time to revisit the cardinal draw of the message of Bhagwan Baba. From the time Baba was a little boy, he championed the cause of pluralism. Early in his avataric career, Baba called for an all-inclusive approach to religious diversity when he said, and I quote him, "Let the different faiths exist. Let them flourish. Let the glory of God be sung in all languages in a variety of tunes. That should be the ideal." Unquote. And throughout his life, Baba lived this truth. His ashram in Prashanti Nilayam is possibly the only place on this planet where thousands of people of varied faiths, spiritual and cultural traditions celebrate Christmas and Shivratri and Eid and Buddha Purnima with the same love and devotion for God. Now, if you can guess where I'm going with all this, the recent Buddha Purnima celebrations was once again a reminder of this fact. It has become quite a tradition here to revisit and reflect upon the life and gospel of the Buddha, and we have devotees come here from many Buddhist countries across Asia. Year after year, we have witnessed Tibetan monks from Dharamsala and Kusalnagar, Buddhists from Thailand and other far eastern countries come and offer their prayers in the immediate divine presence of Baba. Today on Morning Glory, we'll take you down memory lane to an insightful talk from Buddha Purnima celebrations in the ashram. This talk was delivered by a NASA scientist who's an expert in Satya Sai education and a practicing Buddhist. And I have also picked a special Buddha Purnima concert presented in Bhagwan's presence by Sai devotees from the Far East, again from the past. So let's roll out Morning Glory with part 2 of Brother Balaramachandran's Fleeting Moments interview with Radio Sai's very own Bishu Prushti.
Now, brother, with all this, what happened is the craving started coming. Now you realized what Swami is, or started realizing what Swami is. You wanted that physical proximity with that Swami who is so big and so great. Now, this is a very important phase in my life. Now, you know, I said that I was in a joint family, the first grandchild, very loved, the apple of everybody's eye. And suddenly I was in a hostel where I was one amongst 300 boys. I was not special that way. I mean, there was nobody who considered me special. I was not the apple of the eye to anybody. Very easy to feel homesick and all that. Now, you know what happened? When I was sent to the hostel, I was under the impression genuinely that Swami speaks to every single boy. I mean, I had been told, because that's what they always tell you, no? Swami speaks to boys. So I thought Swami will speak to every single boy. So first day got over, I was wondering why Swami was not speaking to me. So I actually had taken it for granted that Swami would speak to every boy, and he was not interacting. So then it became very difficult. Then I started craving for that opportunity where to interact. My first opportunity came my way when, or supposed opportunity came my way when I had got that opportunity to offer a rose to Swami, offer that flower to Swami. Swami was there for the full first semester. And you would get a padanamaskar, hopefully Swami would say something. Something most unexpected happened that day. My chance was inside three. You would get a chance outside in Sai Rameshwar and also inside three. Inside three, when my chance came, during the aarti time, I lit up and then I was trying to give the rose to Swami. Swami picked up the rose, and then now was my legitimate chance to take the padanamaskar. I thought that it was my legitimate chance. But something most unexpected happened. A group of three or four boys is crowded around and I couldn't take my padanamaskar. Can you believe this? It was a taken for granted chance, no? But then Swami walked away and I was devastated. Because I had waited for this opportunity. You know, in hindsight, I see that I've read that a lot of times the Lord does this to increase the craving even further. And he'd successfully done that. There was tremendous amount of craving. Because now you realize what Swami is, you're waiting for that interaction and you'd been told Swami would speak to everybody and that was not working out. And when your chance came, it got snatched away.
Because in Swami's institution, I mean, that is what you look forward to all the time. Your extracurricular, your grades, all that, they just happen. You know, they're not actually so important.
Absolutely.
In the scheme of things.
Yeah. That's all the alibi.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the only reason why you are there and that doesn't happen. You know, it just leaves you completely crestfallen.
Yes. And this went on. But that was a very important, I think, aspect of my life when, you know, my favorite bhajan always was Antaranga Sai. So Antaranga Sai or Sai, who is the indweller. So I remember in those days, I used to stand in the terrace of the hostel and cry. And somewhere I started saying that the physical Swami is not for me. Maybe I had to establish contact with the Swami within. And that's when a bhajan which I had been casually singing became very meaningful to me. Because I had to establish contact with that Sai within.
So you had come with that sort of some connection with that internal Sai because of your upbringing and everything. You know, your parents had told you he's God.
Yes.
So you had sort of related to that form. But now you're seeing physically you're not getting that.
Yes.
The physical form is not giving you.
Correct.
So you want to go back to that omnipresent, omniscient.
In fact, I didn't want to. I was forced to. So maybe that was my path. In hindsight, if you see, that was my path, as some of the other episodes in my life clearly show. So maybe the path was, my path was this path of getting that inner connect. Because I still remember this. This got reconfirmed once because I remember once Swami had come for one of his visits to Vrindavan. And those days, brother, three session was, I shouldn't say this, but it was for granted. But the first day, Swami did not call us. Second day, Swami did not call us. In fact, he gave a very inverted comma, silly excuse. He said, I have a cold and that's why I'm not calling you. I mean, that was unbelievable. And the craving had gone up naturally. Third day, fourth day, when he called inside, I still remember, he was sitting in the jhula. And he whispered something which I think very few of us in the front would have heard, and I was one of them. And maybe the message was for me also. He said that, see, Swami came, but for 3 days Swami did not call you. Do you know why? And there was silence and he gave the answer. He said, you know why? Because slowly, slowly, Swami is teaching you to look for Swami within.
Swami told that?
Yes.
Which year was this?
This was, brother, I'll tell you, this is either 94 or 95, not beyond that. And brother, now it has multiple meanings to me.
I know.
I froze for a moment. I mean, one was, of course, the reconfirmation that my path was the internal Sai, the Antaranga Sai. The other was, of course, today's scenario. I mean, and that's what came back to my mind after Mahasamadhi also, I mean. So, he said this. I can vouch for it in as many clear words, and he said it in English. He said, you know why Swami did not call you? Because slowly, these were the exact words, slowly, Swami is teaching to look for Swami within. I'm teaching you to look for Swami within. So that's what happened. So Antaranga Sai became very special. And somehow over a period of time, I reconciled myself to the fact that the inner Swami is mine. And I said that, okay, outside Swami has got 300 boys. Everybody would say, how can you expect Swami to interact with everybody? I said, okay, but inside everybody's got one Swami. No, I've got my personalized Swami. So I will demand everything from him. And I said, my internal Swami is mine. And that's when Antaranga Sai became meaningful to me. So I'd established, I think, that connect internally. But you know, despite all this, what would happen is, you know, the physical Lord is there with you. You will always have that craving, you know, for that physical thing. So over a period of time, though I had reconciled, there was one of those days, I remember it was Vijayadashmi Day, where the very famous playback singer and Swami's devotee, P. Sushila Ma, she was actually giving a concert in Sai Ramesh Hall. She was in the dais, and Swami was actually sitting with us that day, with the group of boys. And Swami was a good 15-20 meters behind, I was somewhere forward. And that day I still remember, though I had tried to get over this craving for craving for physical is very difficult, but though I tried to do that, I had at least suppressed it to a large extent successfully. But that day, brother, I felt very, very bad. Somehow I felt Swami had never touched me on my head. They always say that Swami blesses you by touching your head. I said, I've never got that opportunity. I've been with Swami. So I was trying to suppress myself, saying, no, Antaranga Sai is your real Sai. You can't crave for this. That's your path. But that day the craving never happened. Now, it was a very beautiful thing. Because when that craving comes, he responds. And that day something very special happened. What happened is the program got over. Swami was getting up to come towards the stage to bless the artists. You know what, Swami, there was a carpeted path for Swami as usual, the red carpet. But that day, Swami cut a random path, like he sometimes does. He randomly cut a path and he started walking. So automatically what happens, boys start creating their path and Swami starts moving. That was the day when I was feeling very bad that Swami has never blessed me by touching my head. Swami randomly cuts a path. Swami starts walking. Now, I was, remember, a good 15-20 meters forward. Now, it so happened that the path which Swami had cut was such that I was on the border of the path. I was in the corner. So, which means Swami is going to walk next to me. When Swami came next to me, I remember Swami is walking normally. When Swami came next to me, what he started doing is, he started balancing himself in inverted commas. Balancing himself in inverted commas by holding hands of the boys. Boys were putting up the hands. If you can imagine, Swami was actually balancing himself and walking. And then he came towards me. Exactly when he passed me, brother, he balanced himself by putting his hand on my head. And nobody knew. He was not looking at me. He was casually walking. He put his hand on my head and he walked past. It is a moment of bliss. I think you can imagine what would have gone through. Because that was beautiful, because we've always read that God responds to prayer. But that was a direct response. And that convinced me that if, of course, my biggest grouse with myself is that I don't get myself to that level of craving. Because now I have Swami shown that if you crave to that extent sincerely, I mean, he does respond. And I think he's really liberalized things. I mean, you didn't, with the Dhruva who had to go through so many as a penance, and Prahlada who had to do so much. Maybe we never had to do all that. But I keep telling Swami that, Swami, I should somehow reach that level again where I should start craving that way.
I think there is one thing that perhaps every student in Bhagwan's university would have experienced, that never ever a prayer of yours goes waste. I mean, it takes time, and I feel that is the greatest blessing of living in the physical presence of the Lord. You can have your experiments with Him. You can have your experiments with Him about prayer, about love, about your sadhana, and you get those answers physically.
And directly. Because, like I said, aparokshanubhuti, the direct experience of truth, it's one thing to read in the scriptures that the Lord responds to prayer, but here's very, and it gives you the tremendous boost of confidence that here is somebody who will listen to you. You are with the Lord, you belong to a Lord who can do anything in the world, and He responds. I mean, that combination is deadly. That's exactly what happened that day. And brother, I'll tell you something. If anybody had watched this episode, they would have never imagined so much had happened. Because it is a very normal thing of Swami. Now, I was just thinking, how many more prayers would have Swami answered that day? I don't know. Maybe He answered 100 prayers that day. I still remember Swami was doing this. And finally, my chance came. And it was only minutes. It was beautiful. So that was a case where I tried to, the physical craving, that craving for the physical form. And then He responded very beautifully. That taught me the power of prayer. So that was on Vijayadashmi day, unbelievable. And it's very special because I come from a family where the family deity is Rama.
Okay.
So Swami has his, I think, reasons why Vijayadashmi He chose for that particular day. So that was one beautiful episode. Now Swami followed up that. Now this was a case where I pray for the touch on my head with His Abhayahastam. Now He followed it up when I had not asked for it. That was beautiful. I think Swami does that one-to-one free kind of scheme.
Yes.
So you get it just like that.
You know, well, he's all the time concerned about our spiritual growth. So whatever is needed at that point in time,
yes,
for us to move in our next step in evolution, He will continue to create those opportunities for us, continue to create the circumstances so that we get that experience, so that we move on.
Absolutely. And this circumstance He created is all, like you, I think you've said that very well. He creates that scenario or that opportunity. I remember I was to work for the cooperative stores, as the, you know, we have a self-reliance activities. We are volunteers in various things in the hostel. So I was a volunteer in the cooperative stores in Vrindavan. One day Swami had suddenly asked the teacher who heads the cooperative stores, Ruchir sir. So I told him that some work was to be done. There was some clothing material which had to be distributed to Sevadals. So these were in the stores. They had to be brought to the Trey Vrindavan. And it had to be cut neatly and then kept ready for Swami to distribute to the Sevadals. So we were all called in. So we were called after the morning thing and said, you will not go to college in the afternoon. And you would all go in at 3. So beautiful opportunity. So but just about 6, 7, 8, maybe maximum 10, under 10, people went in at 3. We spent the whole day in at 3.
Wow.
It was very nice. It was a silence which is audible. I would use that term. I know. I mean, it is a dichotomy, but it is a silence which is audible because, you know, the Lord was staying one floor up. And, you know, it was a very different kind of silence, a vibrating silence. So we were waiting for Swami to come. So we finished our work and then Swami came down and then Swami went outside. What happened is all the boys were in the college. This is before even Swami's darshan timings. He'd come out early. And suddenly we found that there was a small group of Sevadals who were assembled inside Trey Vrindavan. They were seated in lines on either side. And Swami was distributing clothing material. So what happened is, because there were just about 7 or 8 of us, we were given turns to carry the clothing material and then go in front of Swami.
Yes, holding it.
Yes, holding it. And then Swami would pick it up and give. Now, what happened that day is generally you have two people to help. That day, the number of boys was so less that there was only one boy sent on each occasion. So each one would go in turns. You'd stand in front of Swami and then Swami would walk. So Swami is walking towards the Treyi gate on either side, you know, where the deer and all that is. The Sevadals were sitting and Swami was distributing. Now, my chance came. No, I went
hold
with the glory.
Yes.
Now, it's very heavy, so I have to use both my hands, which means my hands are busy. Now, Swami will have to help himself by picking up the clothing and give. I cannot hand it over because it's heavy. Something very interesting happened. So, I was actually kneeling down and walking to adjust to Swami's height. It's so close that I still remember this. My nose is touching Swami's robe.
Oh, my God.
Close. Okay. Now, what is happening is, he gave the first thing, the second clothing material he gave. The third Sevadal, when the opportunity came, what he did is, I distinctly remember this, brother. Remember, he has to pick it up himself. You know what he did? Swami purposely pulled the clothing material which was second. You have to pick up from the top of the heap.
Yes.
No, he did not do that. He purposely pulls up the second one. Now, I can see it, but I can't do anything about it. He's pulling the second one. Now, what will happen? All the clothing material on top will topple on. That's exactly what happened. He pulled the second one. The clothing material on top toppled down into Swami's feet. And I picked it up. And the moment that happened, no, he looked at me, smiled as though I had done the mistake. And he said, Dunapota, he said, a tough one whack he gave on my head. It was a very beautiful moment. So he'd orchestrated that entire thing. Now I'm carrying the thing, so he has to help himself. He has to pick up from the top of the heap. Instead of doing that, he purposely pulls the second one so that the first one will topple, so that it appears that I made a mistake. And as though to chastise me for that mistake, he gives me a whack on my head, thereby answering a prayer, Swami, please touch on my head. So that is very beautiful. A beautiful moment. It is all smiles. It is a very personal moment. But then I'm recollecting this because there was one more prayer answered. So Swami had given, I asked for it once and then it came twice. So that was one beautiful experience which happened where both these things. So here was a Lord who made an impression on me. He had made that connect with me. He had showed me that he is the Lord of Lords. And then he had also showed by then that I respond to prayer.
And no gesture of the avatar is insignificant. You know, we never ever know. If you have lived with the avatar, I think many times you might get into that delusion. You know, why did Swami do this? Every day Swami is doing this. Why did Swami do this today? Because we never ever know the dimensions in which he's working.
Absolutely. Since you're saying this, brother, I'd like to jump to one more thing. I'm skipping chronology. Some of the things which I actually wanted to share. I agree with you. Sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to judge. We, in our own way, try to judge why Swami did a particular thing. Though Swami has warned us a lot of times not to try and do that.
Yes.
Still remember, part of the bhajan group here in Prashanti Nilayam, it was one of those programs. I think it was Guru Purnima, if I remember right. Besides the songs, we'd also practice some group songs. And brother, you'll definitely remember this. You know, this song we used to sing before Swami called, "A Malik Tere Bandeham."
Yes.
Now, we had sung that song. I remember that was one of the songs which boys were supposed to sing together. So we had sung that song. And I remember during the program, exactly when this song was being sung, Swami got up and went away. Now, Swami getting up and going away in the middle of a program can be interpreted in multiple ways, depending on who you are and how you want to interpret it.
Yes.
And I remember those were the days when, within inverted commas, Swami was not very pleased with the boys and stuff like that. So they were looking at Guru Purnima as an opportunity to break ice. And in the eyes of the rest of the hostel, we, the bhajan group, had spoiled that chance. So I still remember on my way back to the mandir I got, and as a member of the bhajan group, I really got taken to task by a lot of my classmates. They said that, see, because of you guys, you didn't sing properly. Swami got up and went away. He's upset. And because he's upset with you, he's upset with all of us. And I was very depressed. Now, I came back to the hostel in a very depressed mood. I was sitting in my room. And suddenly, a junior of mine, I was a room leader, so a junior of mine, who stays with me in the room, came running and said, BRC brother, I want to share something. I'm very excited. And I was not excited, so I was in no mood to listen. He said, no, you must listen to me. I said, okay, tell me. I said, something very beautiful happened today. I had a beautiful experience. I said, what experience? He said, you remember Swami got up when one song was sung? I said, I remember, and that's exactly why I'm aggrieved. Okay. So he said, you know what, brother, yesterday when we were practicing, this boy is telling me, brother, yesterday when we were practicing this song in the dining hall, I was just thinking, there's a particular line in that song which says, Bada kamzor hai aadmi, etc., etc. And there's a particular line which comes, Par tu jo khada hai dayalu bada. Par tu jo khada, so you're referring to Swami and say, Par tu jo khada. Khada means standing. Dayalu bada, oh compassionate one. Now, I was thinking while we were, this boy is telling me that while the practice was going on the day before Guru Purnima, he was thinking that tomorrow when we sing this before Swami, we are going to say, Pare tu jo khada, but Swami will be sitting. That will be very inappropriate.
Oh.
Now, he said, you know, brother, what happened? Today, exactly when we were saying, Pare tu jo khada, Swami got up.
Oh my God.
Now, for a moment, the entire thing is, now tell me, brother. Now, exactly what you said.
Yes.
You would know this boy. This boy was your classmate. I mean, okay. I know this boy. So this boy is your classmate. And this happened. This was unbelievable. So, in a moment, Swami transformed the entire thing. And then I learned the lesson, saying you never try and interpret what Swami is doing. Yeah. I mean, I had anyway thought of mentioning this, because that is one more lesson which I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. I mean, so many thoughts even come to my mind. But
so,
let's
I just
go on.
Jumped chronology just narrate this.
Yeah.
So, this happened. And then I came to Prashanthi Nilayam. And then I learned a very... powerful, you know, you go through a course and then you go through a refresher course.
Yes.
In learning and development, we talk about reinforcement of learning. And there was a very defining experience in my life when I went through an episode like that. If you've been with Swami physically for a long time, you know, once in a while you go into cold storage.
Yes.
Okay. What is referred to as cold storage? But suddenly you lose that opportunity to do any service physically. So you lose your opportunity to sing. Swami doesn't speak to you. So you get into trouble, and I was particularly good at getting into trouble. I got into trouble very often.
So possibly your growth was much faster.
Maybe. So it was one of those many occasions when I was in trouble, and the trouble normally came in this way. What would typically happen is that suddenly, you know, I was given the opportunity by Swami to be part of the bhajan group here. I lost this opportunity to be part of the bhajan group. Now, you know, when this...
The hardest thing to take, actually, for
very,
someone.
Very, very difficult. So, because that's your identity, your first identity, your bhajan singer. And you know, when this thing happens, nobody will actually tell you why you are not given a chance. So it started this way. I was in Prashanthi Nilayam in the bhajan group. First day, I did not get a chance. Now, I didn't think that to be a very odd thing, because there are so many boys who sing, so you get a chance only once in 2 days. Second day also, chance didn't come. So I thought, okay, maybe third day. Third day, fourth day didn't come, I got really worried. And then nobody was telling me why, and nobody would tell you why. So I was also wondering why I'm not getting a chance. So what happened is, there was one well-wisher, a senior brother in the bhajan group, who in confidence came and told me. He said that you're not getting a chance. You know why? I said, I don't know. That's because Swami has apparently remarked something about your voice. He said that your voice is not okay or something like that. So that's why you are out. It was a very difficult thing. Now, because Swami has said this, now he'll have to say something again positively to get me back in. And you know, my path is not the physical Swami. Now, I can't approach Swami. Now, you're caught. He has to now approve, and you can't approach him physically. Very difficult situation. Very difficult situation.
And like every day that you're losing is such a difficult thing to...
Very difficult.
...to stomach, actually.
Yes, very difficult.
Because you have like 5-6 years of study, and every day you've lost is lost forever.
Lost forever, absolutely. And that was exactly happening. And, you know, people would always ask you, why are you not singing today? So that would happen.
Just add salt to the wound.
Salt to the wound, absolutely. So this was going on. So at that point of time, what happened is, one more senior brother, a well-wisher in the bhajan group, came and said, he said, okay, you're not getting opportunities, so what are you doing? I mean, Swami's not giving you this opportunity to sing, so what are you doing about it now? I said, I'm praying. He asked me, did you write a letter to Swami? No, I said no. And there was a particular reason why I said no. And here I'll have to briefly take you back to my early days in Vrindavan. Because what happened is, early days in Vrindavan, when I had come, one of the aspirations was, because I was a member of the bhajan group in my samiti, so I had this aspiration to sing before Swami. In those days, brother, we had to get up and ask Swami for permission, and Swami had to permit you.
Physically, yes.
Physically. So, all the senior brothers told me, you get up and ask Swami. So, you know, my first attempts were like this. First day I got up and asked Swami. I said, Swami, can I lead the bhajans? He said, lead bhajans, lead. Sing bhajans. He made fun of me and just walked away. Second day, I got up and said, Swami, I was about to say, Swami, I want to lead bhajans. He said, what? Is it your marriage? I immediately sat down. Third day, I got up. Swami said, what? You want an interview? And he looked at the boy next to me and said, give this boy interview. And he laughed and went away. So every opportunity to interact with him physically for this purpose was shut down. So if you see that the training had started, my internal Sai training, I think it started at that point in time. I was not aware of that. Now, what happened? I was very depressed. you can't approach Swami and you can't get a chance to sing. So what happened at that time is that, I tried letters. Okay, that's where the important thing comes. I tried letters and Swami would just reject it. And Swami said, no, Swami would not take. Swami would take a letter from the boy on the left. Swami would take a letter from the boy on the right, totally ignore me and then walk away. So this path was not working out for me. It's a beautiful thing to do, writing a letter to Swami. But I'm talking about something very personal to me. My path, it was not working out. So I still remember when I was in this sorry state of affairs. One day in Trayi, Swami gave a discourse, and in the middle of the discourse, Swami sang in his sweet voice a very beautiful Telugu poem. I don't remember the complete poem, but it starts like this. He said, "Adigagalevo manasa, O mind, do not ask." And then he translated in English. He said, "O mind, do not ask. If you ask, it shall be ignored. If you do not ask, it shall be granted." Now, see, there's no one way with Swami, no? This is, and somehow I felt that this message was for me. I said, okay, let me try this out. Because he's clearly saying, if you ask, it'll be ignored. And that's what I was doing the post, all those weeks. So if you ask, it'll be ignored. And if you do not ask, it'll be granted.
And there are other times when Swami has told that you should continue to ask.
You should continue to ask, absolutely. So that's why I said, it's very difficult to say this with Swami. But that day, maybe the message was for me, or for a lot of other people sitting there who are on that particular path. And that's why I know Swami is very beautiful. I think in one class, he conducts multiple sessions. So I don't know how he does that. So, he did that. That moment, sitting inside three, I made a resolve that, okay, I will not ask you now. That's quite some nerve to do that. I'm telling the Lord, okay, you're telling me this, I'm not going to ask you now for chance for singing bhajans, and I'm stopping letters now. And I did that. Brother, I took this decision. You'll not believe this. The next day, Swami called the warden, and Swami on his own accord is asking, "Kotta pilla lekkada? Where are the new boys?"
Oh my God.
Okay, first year boys. And I was a kotta pillalu. I was a new boy. And he said, "Bring the new boys, I want to hear them sing." Next day.
Oh my God.
Okay, now I was very clear, the message is for me. And next day, I remember in the hostel, we had a screening session. Unfortunately, I got shortlisted, so to say. And 2 days after this had happened, I was sitting in front of Swami, and Swami was doing auditions. And I still remember I sang Sai Hamara Ham Sai Ke, that bhajan. And Swami was actually with this thing, no? Jalra Swami was actually playing to the tune of the bhajan, and then to the keeping rhythm. And after that, Swami asked me, "Where do you come from?" and all that. Swami spoke to me, and then we were selected.
Wow.
Within the same week I was part of the bhajan group, I had sung my first bhajan. Then I said, very good, this is my path. See, it was working for me. That's what I mean.
This is the conviction came, and the next day you see the fruit of that conviction.
It's immediate. So it's because if there was a lag, then you start doubting. You know, monkey mind. I have a certified strong monkey mind. Swami himself is certified. I have a very strong monkey mind. So Swami didn't take the chance. He gave that confirmation the next day. So this is the background. So when this brother, coming back to the story of that cold storage, when this brother, senior brother came and told me, "Have you written a letter?" I said, "No." Now, he did not understand the background naturally, because my background was different. Because for me, that path was not working. Postal sadhana, as they call it, was not working. So I said, "Brother, but I'm praying to Swami." Now, that brother said something very interesting. And I still believe he said this, keeping my own welfare in mind. He said, "There's no use just praying. You must write a letter." Now, looking back, I understand that he must have said so because that path had worked very well for him. Maybe he had gone through a cold storage himself.
Yes.
Maybe he had written letters, and maybe that had brought him out of the cold storage. So he was recommending it in good faith.
Yes.
But to me, the impact was the opposite. It shook my entire foundation. Because first of all, I was in a crisis. Second, here was something said to me, which was taking my entire fundamentals, because Swami had said, "Adigagalevo manasa." Swami had, the letter thing was not working for me. And when I didn't give a letter, it was working out for me in those days, my early days in Vrindavan. And that's why I got into the bhajan group. That's how I got into the bhajan group in the first instance.
Yes.
And now I'm out. And now you're telling me I need to give a letter to get in. So I was totally shaken. So I didn't know what to do.
I mean, this confusion, already you are depressed and there is now confusion there.
Yes. But the person who said this to me said this in very good faith. Now what happened is, that this was the time of Bhagwan's birthday. And a few weeks before that, we have the Global Akhanda Bhajan. Now, Global Akhanda Bhajan time, so everybody was preparing. It was the first evening. And I, as usual, was somewhere in the middle of the bhajan hall. In those days, the Akhanda Bhajan used to happen inside the bhajan hall only. I was somewhere in the middle because anyway, my name was not there in the list. So what happened is that the bhajan session started. Naturally, my name was not there in the list. The first session got over. Swami was physically in the bhajan hall at that time. After that, Swami got up and Swami was walking towards Purnachandra. Swami used to reside in Purnachandra in those days. I still remember at that point in time what happened is, one of the brothers in the bhajan group, senior brothers, just called me. I was very surprised. I was not expecting this. Now, I did not wait before he changed his mind. I quickly got up and then I went. Okay, I sat down. Now, in hindsight, later on got to know, in fact, one more brother who was with me in the bhajan group told me that I believe that I was not the person called. He was called. He was the person sitting next to me. I mean, I got to know this later. This brother told me. I know this from this brother only. I believe that he was a person called, but then I had imagined that it was me and I had gone, and I believe that they anyway saw me coming, so didn't want to disappoint me, and saw me was physically not there, so they had decided to take that chance. So that itself was that was in hindsight. I got to know of this later. So I walk up and I sit down. And then they asked me, what bhajan are you singing? And I was crystal clear in my mind. I had my bhajan ready. I said, I will sing, O Bhagwan, Arajas Suno Mere Sai Bhagwan. Oh Lord, listen to my call. What else can you sing? Somehow, brother, I felt that this was the last straw, my last chance. I knew that day I had to sing my heart out. And you know why it was a very beautiful thing? Because Swami was physically out of sight. But remember, Swami was not totally away from earshot distance, because Swami was walking towards PC. So we can still remember, if you can visualize the episode, I can still see it in my mind's eye as I speak to you now. Swami walking out, walking towards, if you remember the golden lights which come, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, and the Lord walking towards PC. He still got his back towards me. I can still catch him. He can still listen to me. And I have that last minute chance to make that application.
Before he actually loses out of your
ear, absolutely, hearing distance. And, and the most beautiful sight. Thing was, see, typical of Swami. Antaranga Sai, I was not seeing him. But I knew he was there. I knew he was here within hearing distance, physically speaking. So I sang, O Bhagwan, Arajas Suno Mere Sai Bhagwan. And I still feel, brother, that the day I sang O Bhagwan that day, or for that matter, the day I sang a bhajan that day, maybe I never have sung in my life and never managed to do so, regretfully. Never managed to sing so the way I sang on that particular day. Because it was total, because I knew it was my last straw, last chance. And this happened. I sang my heart out that day. I mean, I can maybe with reasonable confidence say that day, because it was my last chance. So that got over. And then I came. No, but still I had no hope. I knew that it was maybe one-off chance. The next day Swami comes and sits physically, I'm not going to be there. Now what happened is, it was only a question of who would bell the cat. Somebody had to take that risk of making me sing, because one senior brother had taken the risk of saying me sing. The other senior brother started taking that as a precedent and started giving me chance the next day.
Okay.
So on the second day, the morning of the Akhanda Bhajan, day two, I started getting chances to sing. Now it is okay as long as Swami is not physically sitting there. Suddenly what happened is that I got an opportunity to sing. I was singing and Swami was busy. So Swami was in the interview room giving interviews as usual. You know, Swami was scheduled to go to the Institute Auditorium to oversee the practice. Boys were preparing for the, the drama.
Convocation drama.
So we knew that Swami was going there. So what happened is Swami's car had come. It was waiting in Kulwant Hall. Swami was stepping out of the interview room. It so happened that at that point in time, I was just starting a bhajan, and the bhajan I was singing was Sankata Harana Shri Sai Ramana Pankaja Charana Namo Namo. Sankata Harana, the one who removes sorrows, and I was in real Sankata at that point of time. And I was singing that bhajan, incidentally. So I still remember Swami was walking out, so he stepped out of the interview room. He was turning left and walking towards the car, where the car was parked. But you know what happened? Swami walked towards the car. I mean, took two steps towards the car. And I still remember, because I was sitting in the first row, I could see Swami. Distinctly, Swami stops. Sudden break. Swami does a U-turn and walks inside the bhajan hall.
Oh my God.
So then and I didn't know why Swami was coming in.
Now you don't know whether to be happy or sad.
Yeah. Honestly, at that point of time, I was not in a state of mind to even analyze why he was coming. It was a very unbelievable sight. He just turned around, U-turn. Swami was making it very obvious. Sudden break, and then he does a U-turn, and then he walks in, and then he comes and sits on the throne. And I'm singing. Now nobody can stop me, because I've already started. And then Swami is sitting, and Brother Swami just closes his eyes, and a beautiful smile comes upon his face. And then I remember Swami shakes his head. And you know, even now I'll tell you, in my limited experience, I've never seen Swami enjoying my bhajan any time in my life like I saw that particular day. It was as though Swami was so happy. And all smiles and that God look, on his face, and there was a glow. It was a very different sight. It was a sight for the gods to see. And I was overawed. And Swami was enjoying my bhajan. And at the end of the entire bhajan, Swami looks at me and gives a smile.
Wow.
And then gets up and walks away. As though to tell me, I came only for your bhajan. Now that was an unbelievable thing which happened. And then he walks back into the car and life is as usual. It was a euphoric moment, naturally. But then, you know, after that euphoria had got down, the monkey mind kicked in. I started doubting, okay, now Swami has seen me singing. Oh, you never know what Swami will do. Now, Swami may will go back and again say, I told you not to give this boy a chance to sing and now you're making him sing. I mean, the monkey mind plays in. No, the Lord has come and showed you directly, but still the monkey mind kicked in. I started getting a doubt. Maybe in the evening, I'll not get the chance because now Swami is seen. But evening I come, brother, surprisingly, my name is on the top of the list of the singers to sing for the evening. And I was very surprised. 1, 2, 3 numbers are those prime numbers. Yes. No, I was not 1, 2, 3 numbers to sing. And I was very surprised. And that's when I got to know something. A classmate brother of mine came running and said, hey, BRC, you know what happened? Swami spoke about you today in the auditorium.
Wow.
And I was very surprised. I said, what happened? Tell me. And what had happened is, Swami had gone to the institute auditorium to see the practice. And after the practice, he was speaking to the boys. And a lot of those boys sitting there were the bhajan boys, because bhajan boys would get the opportunity for drama also. Apparently, the day previous, in the evening, I believe that when a particular bhajan was going on, when the Anandpur sisters were singing, I believe that our brothers were preparing for the next bhajan. And typically what do? You put your ear towards the harmonium trying to catch the shruti for the next one. And apparently Swami had noticed that, because Swami was talking about all that day. And Swami said, see, when they are singing, instead of following the bhajans, you are busy preparing for the next bhajan. And he said that, how can you do that? And Swami took them to task, I believe. And then suddenly out of the blue, Swami started talking about me. Swami said, you know that boy? And Swami used to, I believe, refer to me by a particular term. Once or twice he used to call me a parrot because I had a very squeaky voice. So he called me parrot voice. You know, he said, mana parrot voice. He said that parrot voice, letter rasyadu. He said that he wrote a letter to me. Okay, Swami is telling all these people, this parrot voice wrote a letter. And what did he write in the letter? He said, Swami, I am not getting chance to sing, Swami. So Swami is narrating the contents of my letter, okay? So Swami says, parrot voice has written a letter. This BRC is me, as in parrot voice has written a letter. And in the letter he has written, Swami, I am not getting a chance to sing, Swami. And I am feeling very bad about it, Swami. So Swami, please give me a chance to sing. Swami is saying this. And then Swami says, he has also written in the letter, Swami, even if you don't give me a harmonium, it is okay. You know, you can't sing a bhajan without a harmonium. But Swami says, even if you don't give me a harmonium, Swami, it's okay. I'll sing without a harmonium. But please give me a chance. See, he's saying that. And you guys, you have harmonium, you have everything. You're listening to the harmonium, listening to the shruti and not singing bhajan. That's all. Now, this had happened and that is why I was back in the list. Because like I said, the Lord had apparently committed something. Now, he had to again bail me out and he had exactly done that. And I was back in. So, beautiful episode. All this happened and I was back in. That's the story of how I came out of cold storage. Okay, brother. Now, the story is not over. Now comes the icing of the cake. Okay? What brought me out of this cold storage? The fact that I had written a letter to Swami, praying for a chance to come back. Okay? Now, I'll tell you something. In Swami's presence, I'll tell you something. I never wrote a letter. I never wrote a letter to Swami.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen. Swami goes inside and tells in the auditorium, parrot voice letter rasyadu. And he tells the contents of the letter. Now, I might have prayed about those things, of course. I did not talk about the harmonium. Okay, yes. But Swami, I mean, yes, I was desperate.
I think Swami is connecting it.
Connecting it beautifully. Yeah, yes. That's what I'm saying. Master of masters. So he's connecting it beautifully. But then he was saying that I never wrote a letter. But he said that I wrote a letter. Now, the beautiful message was, when I never wrote a letter, I only prayed, but Swami said I wrote a letter, thereby showing me that prayer is equal to letter. And that was the original lesson he had given me in Vrindavan, where I had prayed and then he had responded. The letter thing was not working for me. Thereby, he was telling me prayer is equal to letter, thereby reinforcing me, reconfirming my own faith. But the story is still not over. The most beautiful thing is, I was reconfirmed in my faith, but something very beautiful happened. In that audience, in that auditorium, the senior brother, you know which senior brother? The senior brother who had recommended to write a letter. Oh. That senior brother was there. Now, that senior brother thought that taking his advice, I had written a letter. That's the most beautiful thing. Now, the beautiful thing is, I was reconfirmed in my faith, he was reconfirmed in his faith. Swami did not disturb anyone of this, but both of us got our messages. And typical of Swami's, look at how he maintains the pattern. Typical of Swami, throughout this entire thing, he never spoke to me. Antaranga Sai. So he maintained that pattern of education. So the physical Swami again was not. So it was not a case where Swami came, spoke to me physically. Nothing. Throughout the entire episode, Swami never spoke to me.
by that act of him coming and sitting for your bhajan,
yes,
he had conveyed to everyone,
yes,
that he is so happy with your singing. He has absolutely no issues. I mean, he doesn't have to say anything again to anyone about whether he certifies your singing or not. I mean, yes. That was kind of...
And he follows up with that beautiful thing there. And the second part was also very important, because now he's reconfirmed. It was about, one, getting the chance back, and two, getting reconfirmed to the faith. He'd done both of that in one stroke. I'm saying only the Lord of Lords can do this. Nobody else can do this.
It's so solidly, it would have perhaps got after that embedded in your personality, that the inner Swami, there is no concept of actually the inner Swami and the outer Swami. I mean, it's actually just the same.
Yes. And for some reason, maybe he was grooming me for that, because he said, remember Trey session, he said that slowly I'm teaching you to look for the Swami within. Of course, it was not said to me only, it was said to a group, but the message was for me personally also. So that was the most defining thing.
Sai's Glory, His Divine Story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Sai Ram, and welcome back. You just heard the second part of this three-part conversation with Sai University alumnus, Mr. Bala Ramachandran. We'll air the concluding part of this interview right here on Morning Glory, next week, same time on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. Now, just in case you have missed part one of this interview, you can catch it at radiosai.org/Sai Students. At this link, radiosai.org/Sai Students, you will find interviews with another 165 or even more Sai students, including part one of Brother Balaramachandran's interview. Now, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Your feedback is really very important to us. Please email us at listener@radiosai.org. And before we go any further, let us remind ourselves that Sri Sathya Sai Baba encourages us to recognize who we really are. We are not these minds. We are not these bodies. We are the eternal spirit that temporarily occupies these minds and bodies. Our conscience is a reflection of that eternal spirit. And Baba further says that spirituality is having the courage and the determination to follow our conscience in all things and at all times. In doing so, we recognize that we are all united in God. We are bound together by divine love. That is why Baba declared as follows, "I have come to light the lamp of love in your hearts, to see that it shines day by day with added luster. I have come to tell you of this universal unitary faith, this spiritual principle, this path of love, this duty of love, this obligation to love. Believe that all hearts are motivated by the one and only God, and that all faiths glorify the one and only God. That all names in all languages and all forms man can conceive denote the one and only God. His adoration is best done by means of love. Cultivate that attitude of oneness between men of all creeds and all countries. That is the message of love I bring. That is the message I wish you to take to heart." Unquote, Sri Sathya Sai Baba. To honor that flame of unity, here now is a talk by the distinguished NASA scientist and champion of Sathya Sai education, Dr. Art Aung Jumsai of Thailand. This speech was delivered by Dr. Jumsai in the immediate divine presence of Bhagwan Baba during Buddha Purnima celebrations at Prashanthi Nilayam in the year 2002. Over now to Dr. Jumsai.
I offer my most loving pranams at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Bhagawan Baba. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sangkhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dear sisters,
and brothers, Sai Ram to all of you. When I was a boy of 15 years old, I used to complain to God in my prayers. I complained, why should I be born at this time when there's a lot of wars, a lot of conflicts, a lot of problems in the world? I complained to God, why can't I be born in the time of the Lord Buddha or in the time of Lord Jesus Christ? And you know, I used to go to sleep and dreamt I was in the big, underneath a big tree. And under the big tree, there was a saint. He's quite big, fat, bald-headed, wearing white. And I went, prostrated myself in front of this saint, and then he would say, the time will come when you will meet your master. I tried to ask, when will this happen? He would not give an answer. So I searched and searched and searched. But it was not until the year 1982, 27 years later, that I had my first meeting with Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And that first meeting, I was crying. Baba looked at me with a big smile, beautiful smile, loving smile. And I can't help it. I was crying and crying and crying. And I knew that my search has ended. This was the Sai Buddha. This is the Sai Christ that I have been praying for. Well, the Lord Buddha, he would always try to help you to get rid of your ego. And he would also try to make sure that you understand about the five senses. And also, the Lord Buddha taught very clearly that the world and everything in it is impermanent. It is Maya. It's always changing. And therefore, the Lord Buddha taught us not to be attached to any worldly things. So we have to learn to be detached from worldly things. Well, when I met my Sai Buddha, so many things has happened to teach me these great lessons. Let us look at some of them. Letting go of attachment. I was at that time successful businessman. I had many positions of management. I was chairman of three companies. And then all of a sudden, I lost all business. And I was in financial difficulty. Then I received a telegram from Puttaparthi asking me to come and give a talk on education. So I came, I bought the cheapest ticket that I could find and come to Puttaparthi. I gave my talk and then I was able to meet our beloved Bhagawan, and he said, be happy, because I wasn't very happy at that time. He said, be happy, be happy, be happy. I know you are in financial difficulty, you've lost all your business. I just want to test you. Wow, what a test. But then I was so happy that it was just a test. And needless to say, when I came back, I had another business offer. I became chairman of another company immediately. So it was a test to be detached. One day you can be company chairman, another day you can walk in the street without any job. We have to learn to accept everything that comes our way. The Lord Buddha taught very clearly that everything is impermanent. If there is birth, there's growth, decay, and death. And we have to accept that. That is part of Maya. Now I just want to tell you another story where my ego was completely shattered. Part of the training process when we come in the Sai fold, we'll be tested, we'll be given many things to learn. So I had a bitter lesson, but a very good lesson that helped to reduce my ego. 10 years ago, approximately, Swami asked me to come and speak at the summer course here. Immediately, my mind, being a monkey mind, started to think, how can I come? It's only a few weeks before I need to come again, and I don't have much money at that time. So Swami lovingly looked at me and he said, only if you can. He's very kind, but of course I was of little faith. When the avatar tells you to come, there should be no problem. We must have faith that whatever the avatar wants, he's planning everything for us. We don't need to worry. When I went back to Thailand, there was a ticket waiting for me. It was an invitation for me to go to Italy to give a talk there. And so immediately I took the ticket to my travel agent and said, please change it so that I can come via Bangalore. And immediately they changed it. There was no extra cost and I was able to come without having to pay anything. So you see, we must have faith. When the avatar wants something, things will be done. But then my ego starts to swell. I said, now I'm going to be the guest of Swami. So when I landed in Bangalore, I said, someone is sure to come and collect me. Here was my ego. And of course, nobody came to collect me. So I took a taxi, I came to the gates here, and the sevadal would not accept me. They said, no, you can't go in. I said, I'm the guest of Swami. Said, no, you cannot go in. Then there was a crowd swelling up by the gate, and they said, they were whispering to each other, Swami is coming out, Swami is coming out. So I said, oh, here's my chance. Swami will see me. The car came out, and Swami was looking the other way. He didn't even look at me. So what do I do? It's getting to evening time. I could not get any accommodation, so I decided to go and rent a room outside the ashram. I rented a room, and I had a terrible night. Mosquitoes were biting me all night long. I had a very sleepless night. And the next morning, my ego has disappeared. I have learned a bitter lesson. I came with a big ego, and there it was all gone. I hope that it has all gone. And of course, the next morning, the warden saw me. He said, Swami has already arranged a room for you and you'll be speaking the next day. Well, everything went well after that. I was told to go and speak in the auditorium to the students, and Swami was there listening. I was given 1 hour, or 1 hour and 15 minutes, to speak. It's the first time that I was able to speak for so long. So I decided to say something that would test what I thought, that it was Swami who did all this. And I wanted to know, so I decided to relate a story. And this was the story that I related to the students as well as the faculty members. And Swami was sitting there listening in front of the stage. This happened during the World War II. I was born right at the beginning of the World War II. And at that time, in Thailand, we were invaded by Japan first, and later on by the Allies, as we were occupied. So a lot of bombing took place. And my house was in the middle of a military barrack. And my mother told me this story because I couldn't remember. I was only a baby. My mother said, one day, when there was a lot of bombing, a young man came to our house. And that young man, who looked like a monk, gave a little packet to my mother. And he instructed my mother to spread this over the roof, and then you'll be safe, we'll be safe from the bombing. So my mother opened up the packet and she described to me as fine sand. And she did that, she spread that over the roof, and our house was the only house in that area that was not damaged by bombing. When I met Swami, of course, I suspected that it must have been Swami. So when I told that story, Swami talked to the faculty members. I did not give his mother fine sand. I gave Viputi. Well, the faculty members kindly came to me with that, what Swami was saying. So I knew that Swami has been looking after all of us for a long, long time. We are so lucky to be in His presence. And it is not by chance. Bhagawan Baba has been preparing us for centuries. He's been waiting for us patiently for us to come. He has planned all this. He has been looking after all of us for a long, long time. Now, I just want to tell you another story. And that is about Bhagawan's promise. The avatar's promise. In the year 1983, I came to Puttaparthi to attend the first international conference for overseas Bal Vikas gurus. So I came to that conference and Swami spoke to us every day. He's so full of love for all the gurus. And then He made a promise. He said that if you take up this job of a guru teaching children, we don't have to worry about anything else. He will look after us. He will take care of us. So that came from the avatar. He made that promise to all of us. We went back to our respective countries, all full of enthusiasm. We all started to work. I started to work on education for young children since then, 19 years now. And this is the story I'd like to relate to you. I had a factory, and that factory was in the suburb of Bangkok. There was a lot of thieves, a lot of people who would break in at night. So I hired a guard to look after the factory. And the guard was very lazy. He used to go to sleep at night time. And one day he was woken up by someone. He didn't know who that person was, and that man came, woke him up, and told him, "Perform your duty well." Well, he was shocked and very scared. He didn't know who this person was. And when that person went out, he tried to follow, but already he has disappeared. The next night, the guard went to sleep again. And again, he was woken up by this strange man. The guard didn't know who this person was, but he was getting more and more scared. What is happening? Why is this person come to wake him up? And then this went on for 4 consecutive nights. And the poor man, the poor guard, he was so scared that he came running to me in the morning when I came to work. And he told me the whole story. I said, wait, come into my room. And there in my room was a picture of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. When he saw it, his hair stood on end, and he said, that's a man. So you see, Bhagawan has kept his promise. He took care of everything, including my factory, so that I can work on education matters. Dear sisters and brothers, we are so fortunate to be in the presence of the Divine. Dr. Judo has already mentioned what it is like to be in the presence of the Lord Buddha. We are in the presence of the Lord Buddha. We are in the presence of Lord Jesus. We are in the presence of all the great religious leaders. For Bhagawan is the essence of all these great beings. He is the inner motivator. He is God incarnate. So he exists in the Lord Buddha, he exists in Lord Jesus, he exists in all great religious leaders. And here we are in his presence. And he has been looking after us for a long, long time. So I just like to leave you with all these thoughts. Om Jai Sai Ram.
Sairam, dear sisters and brothers, and welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam on June the 6th, 2013. The time right now in Prashanthi Nilayam is 10:48 a.m. Today, we are celebrating the ecumenical gospel of the supreme most teacher to ever appear in the history of humanity, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. What you just heard was a talk by Dr. Art Ong Jumsai of Thailand that he delivered in Bhagwan's Divine Presence during Buddha Purnima in the year 2002. Right now, may I beg your indulgence to reflect on some magical words I have received from fellow seekers at the Bansuri Meditation in Pune, and they go like this. Ahead of you is a magical 24 hours waiting to be filled by you. It is a precious possession. It is yours alone. No one can take it from you. It's unstealable. Each of us is a spark from the divine light. As we sow, so we reap. The divine will lead us from darkness to endless love. Each of us can become a sanctuary lamp of love and light. Unquote. So, dear sisters and brothers, let's continue to celebrate the all-inclusive vision of the cosmic light that had assumed the form of Bhagwan Baba for a period of 85 years. Here now are some songs presented in Baba's Divine Presence by the Buddhist diaspora from Sri Lanka, Singapore and other Buddhist countries from the Far East. This musical presentation took place in Bhagwan's presence in Prashanthi Nilayam on May the 19th, 2008. I hope you will enjoy it.
Thank you.
Sai Ram, dear listeners. It's time for me to offer morning glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet and to bid you Sai Ram. Till we meet next week, please be well, stay inspired, and do whatever it takes to stay positive, and that includes staying clear of negative environments. Thank you for your company. Hope to meet you again on Morning Glory next Thursday. Till then, loving Sai Ram from all of us at Radio Sai in Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Sai Ram.